We don't have to have the stale bread of yesterday. The Bible says new mercies come every morning. You know, he didn't give those children in the wilderness bread for today, and they had to store it somewhere to eat it the next day. He said, no. He told them, throw it away. Don't get no more than you can use today. And that bread withered and died that they didn't eat. And then the next morning, that was fresh manna for them to eat. So saints of God, this is the way we are. God is new. His mercies are new every morning. The word of God is fresh and new every morning. We don't have to eat the old bread of yesterday. We can eat the bread of today. You know, we are the called out ones. You know, we're the ones that we don't have to do what the world do in order to have the things that God gave us. We don't have to do that. We don't have to lust after stuff. We don't have to put our mind out there to think foolishly of how we're going to steal or kill somebody to attain something. You know, that's the ways of the world. You know, we're strong. We're strong in the Lord. And the Lord's word is strong toward us. You know, we have riches and wealth. We have the financial kingdom backing us. So all we have to do is pay attention to the word of God. And God said he will do the things that we ask him to do. But we got to come unto him. And he will do the things that he said he would do. Amen. So I thank God. And we're going to pick up where we left off next week. So God bless.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare Broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bell. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Let me just lift up for you Psalm number 8, verse 1. Psalm number 8, verse 1. Psalm number 8, verse 1. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Begin reading now. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk about exalt the Lord's name. Exalt the Lord's name. David writes this psalm, and it's a powerful psalm, and it is laden with principles. But I just want to just get into this verse once again. It says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. who hath set thy glory above the heavens. Now, listen at this, because it says a lot, and many of us rush through the verse and do not really realize what David is really saying. The first time he says, "Oh Lord," is a salutation. A salutation. The second time he says, "My our Lord," which is again another word that we use. First of all, let's be clear. Lord is not a name, it's a title. And so he uses the same title twice. But the difference is there is a different name connected with each title. One of the things you will note if you've been in the Bible any degree of time is that God has many names that reference his many character traits, his awesome ability to do things, his supernatural nature. And so when we get to know God personally, as was the custom of the Hebrews, names were important to them because names are important to God. And God's name, more importantly, is most important to him. That's why he commanded Moses in Exodus 20, in verse 7, as a part of the commandment, not to take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For God would not hold them blameless who took his name in vain. It was so important that in Deuteronomy 5:11, Moses repeated the same thing that he mentioned in Exodus 20:7. Do not take the Lord thy God, name of the Lord thy God in vain, because he would not hold them blameless who took his name in vain. What does the name in vain mean? It means to take his name irreverently and or disrespectfully, like you see and hear in songs and on television, how people defame and take in vain the name of the Lord. They swear by it. They curse by it. They forget that they're talking about the holiest God on and in the earth realm, who has given to us every possibility of life and liberty in him. And to take his name and just willy-nilly throw it around says we don't know who we're dealing with. It's one thing for the sinner to do it, for the atheist to do it, but it's a whole nother thing for those who call themselves God's children to take his name in vain and use it in such a way that defames and dishonors God. And so that was a main thing about the Hebrews understanding and learning the names of God. As a matter of fact, the structure with most first, second, and third century Hebrews was not to even tell you their name when they first met you. They'd say, "Hi, friend," "Hey, stranger," "Sojourner." And before they told you their name, they want to know who or where you were from, what you were about, what you're doing here, etc. Because when you called their name, they also associated what their name meant and or what it stood for. And so it was important to them, even their own name, because they reverenced and respected the name of God and emulated him even in their earthly lives. What else the name suggested was that you had an invitation to get to know me better. When I tell you my name, it says I'm also interested in getting to know you better. And so they took that very seriously. And I'm trying to set it up so you'll understand how important it is to understand the frame of reference that David is speaking out of. Once again, I need you to see that when he says, "Oh Lord," he's speaking about, again, a salutation to the God who is the God of all things. He is speaking about Yahweh, the name of God, the proper name of God that was given as a covenant name for the people of Israel. It's important to recognize that when he says, I am that I am in Exodus 3:14, when Moses says, "And who shall I say have sent me?" And he said, "Tell them I am that I am." That name was Yahweh, Yahweh. And again, it's important because when you see this word, it was so holy that the people were afraid to use that in the wrong context. So they did not put the vowels between the letters so that you could not say it without knowing the one you were saying it to or about. So you would see YHWH. Have you ever seen that? YHWH, that was the four letters for Yahweh. No vowels were in that, so you couldn't say Yahweh. Yahweh was spelled YHWEH, but they took out the A and they took out the E and just put YHWH. Stay with me. Stay with me now, because this came from the Greek translation, which means the tetragrammaton. Tetragrammaton. What does tetragrammaton mean? Tetra means four. Four. Grammaton means letters. So it simply means four letters. YHWH. But it meant Yahweh. Now, this is the salutation for the God who is over everything, who knows everything, who is everything. I am that I am, or I will be what I will be. But now when he goes on and he says, "Oh Lord, my," or "our Lord," there's a different name. You say, well, he says Lord first, and then Lord second. Oh Lord, then our Lord. It's the same word. Yeah, it's the same title, but it's a different name. What is the second Lord? That reference is to the name Adonijah. Adonijah. Now, Adonijah meant my Lord or master, the authority and faithful one. Now, he is the authority over all things, and he is faithful in all things, and he is my Lord, and he is my master. If he's your Lord and your master, you never say, "No, sir." It's always, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." And so David is saying, listen, I greet the Lord over everybody. He is the Lord over all creations. He is everything that we need in a God. But now when he says, our Lord, speaking to the people of God, I acknowledge him in a personal way because we belong to him. Now listen, he made everybody, but everybody don't belong to him. So he's acknowledging the one who made everybody and everything, but everybody and everything don't belong to him by way of claim. And so only the people of God have a right to call him Adonijah. Adonijah, my Lord, my master. Why? Because He has purchased us with a price through the blood of his precious son. We no longer belong to ourselves. He is our master and our Lord because of what he has done for us and for what we recognize him as in our lives. Now listen at this, because when we hear this word, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent." The word "excellent" here means how majestic, how great, how grand, how glorious is thy what? Name. Name. Are those the only two names of God? No. Now we've dealt with Yahweh, we've dealt with Adonai. But Elohim, in Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heaven. Elohim means he's the great creator of all things. Elohim, the creator of all things. But then you move from Yahweh, Elohim, Adonai, to El Shaddai. El Shaddai. Now El Shaddai means God Almighty. Genesis 17 and 1, here Abram was 99 years old, and God reaffirms or confirms his covenant agreement with him that he made in Genesis 12. In chapter 15, he walked between the parts that were separated as a covenant was made and walked on all of the inner parts of the animal, suggesting a blood covenant between Abraham and God. But Abraham didn't walk through that. The reason being is the persons who actually entered into covenant, when they walked through, one on each side, the other on the other side going through, it was a binding agreement that they could not break. God walked through it, but he didn't allow Abraham to walk through it because he knew Abraham couldn't keep the covenant. Or representing mankind couldn't keep the covenant. So as a result of that, God did it so that God would honor it even when men would not honor it. That's why he says he's married to the backslider. He's not going to divorce us. We can leave him, but he will never leave us. And isn't it good to know, no matter who you are, what you are, how much you have missed it, that God loves you enough to clean you up and take you back and get you right with him, because he loves you with an everlasting love. He is bound by his own word, his own covenant agreement. And so he is almighty. And he tells Abram, listen, walk before me and be perfect. Perfect. What does that mean? Does that mean holier than thou? No, it doesn't. It means be faithful. Be faithful. Listen, when it says be perfect, God is not talking about perfect as in the same standard of perfection as he is. What it means is be as perfect as you can be, growing and moving upward to that next level of perfection. In other words, being perfected by and through your faithfulness. Faithfulness. Let me ask you a question. How many of you can honestly say, since you've been saved, you can see the growth in your life? Let me say this. How many of us, since you've been saved, can say, things I used to do, or some things I used to do, I don't do no more? How many of you can continue to say, yeah, but preacher, pastor, reverend, there are some things I used to do I'm working on. Anybody in the house? Since I've been saved, I'm working on them. I'm getting better. I see me getting stronger. I see me developing. I see me moving to another level. But I am not there yet. But I can see I'm being perfected. I'm not perfect, but I am being perfected. Caught me a year ago. And there are some things a year ago we wouldn't have been discussing today. Lord, I wish I had somebody who would be real. But I can see what he's done in my life just a year ago. And I keep seeing him every day, little bit by little bit, pruning me and purging me and preparing me and perfecting me. And he keeps on doing it every day. And every time I turn around, he keeps on blessing me. Any witnesses in the house? Yeah. El Shaddai, Almighty God. And then Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah, listen, was the name that God gave to the people after they began to understand. And it was a point in time that only the high priest and those who were the holiest in the nation could use the name Yahweh, but the average person couldn't use that name. And so God, because he always wants to be close to his people, gave them another name. Jehovah is the same as Yahweh, but it is the extended name that God gave so that it could be attached. Because remember, it is I am that I am, or I will be what I will be. So Jehovah, when you say that, that's why you got Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah, 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 and whatever name follows, because it's putting that I will be in front of everything else that he's known for. Are y'all hearing me today? And that's why God wants you to know his name. Now, why else is that important? And we're going to get into a deeper study as we continue on. But I need you to understand it's important to know him who knows you best. If you get into a real relationship with anyone, it doesn't become real until both parties know who they're dealing with. Have you ever heard somebody say, after all these years, I thought I knew you? Well, let me put it another way. Some of you all will remember. If you don't know me, oh, listen to these Christians. You will what? I see we're on the same page now. Maybe I need to quote more of those songs instead of the scriptures. Well, listen, I'm trying to tell you that real relationships require that both parties get to know all there is about each other. Now, what's interesting about that is to really do that is a lifelong commitment. How many of you know that most folk, when we first meet each other, most times have our representative in front? We put on our best behavior. We use our best voice. Yeah, we put our best foot forward. I mean, we act like we are truly all that we are when you meet us. And sometimes it don't take long to realize that false fronts do fall. And then you say, Lord, if I knew what I was getting into before I got into it, I would have never gotten into. Anybody be honest enough to say that? But what happened? Many of us rushed in, meeting only the representative and never meeting the real person. And here's what you got to know. That when you get to know the real person, you will know whether or not the relationship is real. Right. One young man fell in love with a young lady. It wasn't very long after they had met. He didn't really know anything about the woman. Woman didn't know anything much about him. But she was wise enough to want to get to know before they went further into a relationship. And he, after maybe a few dates or more, said, "I love you." And the woman looked at him and said, "You love me? You don't even know me." And then she said something that was earth-shattering. She says, "Wait and get to know me, and then tell me you love me." I don't know, my brothers and sisters, but that'll make somebody stop and pay attention. Wait, what a minute, what you mean? Because somebody has said, if somebody tells you who they are, believe them. Believe them. And so, my brothers and sisters, God wants us to know him for who he truly is. The difference between God and man is God is not a man that he should lie. And everything he says, he can back up. Everything he says, he can do. Everything he says he has, he owns it. It's his, lock, stock, and barrel, deed included. In other words, God is as real as real can get. There is no foolishness with God. There is no faux with God. There is no fakeness with God. There is no phoniness with God. God is real. And the more you know him, the more you can trust him. The reason why we doubt him is because we don't know him. If we really knew him, we would not have a reason in the world to doubt God, even when he didn't show up when we expected him to. Because we've got to know he's got our best interests at heart. And just because we wanted him to show up here, and I think I need to tell you, because he knows all things. He knows when it is best to show up. And then he knows when he does show up, he want to make sure that he's showing up to someone who knew that he would not show up. Sometimes God takes his time because he wants to see what you really think of him. And so when you get to that point where you don't doubt him no more, then you'll find out he'll come a lot quicker, that he'll show up and then show out. And most times, I just want to throw this out for you as well, when he doesn't show up when you expect him and things start falling apart, he shows up late so he can show out great. I found that to be real. He sometimes, listen, he wants the devil to know. When the devil start putting all that stuff in your ear, where's your God now? Why isn't your God here now? Why didn't he pick you up? Why didn't he get you out of this? Why didn't he protect you? Why didn't he do? And when the devil didn't hit you with his best shot, and you at the point of believing the devil, God shows up just in time. And makes the devil out of a lie and brings to pass his power, his perfect will in your life and in that situation. That's why we've got to trust him, because we know him. Yes, it may be a little difficult waiting on him. Matter of fact, that might be the hardest part sometimes. When Jesus didn't show up, when Mary and Martha called for him, He delayed two extra days, not two extra hours.